Good Friday. Today is October the 3rd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, we're going to take some time this Friday morning as we look out in the backyard and garden and talk once again about box tree moths. Unfortunately, the Ohio Department of Ag has announced 4 new counties where they have been found. We're going to talk today about some resources available so you can be on the lookout. We'll have that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look out in the backyard and garden, this past week the Ohio Department of Agriculture has reported the presence of box tree moths in 4 additional counties based on catching male moths in the monitoring traps. Now those counties include Ashtabula, Clark, Cuyahoga, and Preble counties. Interestingly, those are not contiguous. Anybody that knows your geography knows that are all spread out all across the state. Now the pest was first detected in Ohio back in June of 2023. Box tree moth has now been found in 11 counties across the state. Those would be Ashtabula, Butler, Clark, Claremont, Cuyahoga, Hamilton, Greene, Miami, Montgomery, Preble, and Warren. The Ohio Department of Agriculture's plant health inspectors will be placing box tree moth monitoring traps and surveying these areas to determine the extent of the populations. The monitoring traps are baited with a synthetic version of the chemicals that attract the males used by box tree moth females. The traps only attract male moths and do not affect the spread of box tree moth. We have talked about box tree moths in past programs. It's a non-native pest, and the non-native box tree moth only infests boxwoods. However, boxwoods do provide a landscape service that's unmatched by many other woody ornamentals. Boxwoods are evergreen, they're deer-resistant, and able to thrive across a wide range of environmental conditions. They play a significant role in landscaping designs, both in formal and functional structures. The value of boxwoods bloom in the spring and provide an early season bounty of pollen and nectar that's often overlooked because of the small greenish-yellow flowers that blend in with the background. Boxwoods are important landscape woody ornamentals and a valuable part of Ohio's nursery stock economy. Now, there are a lot of great images of box tree moths available online. You can just Google those. And if you do think you spot one, by all means, contact the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Easiest to Google their website. They have a special Ohio plant pest reporting tool that you can log that information. Now, if you'd like to learn more in detail, the box tree moth webinar was recorded back on September 10th of this year. The presentations provide an overview of box tree moths, including their biology, detection, and management, as well as information on the box tree moth compliance agreement that was administered by the Ohio Department of Ag, and preliminary results of cutting-edge research and using genetics to differentiate and characterize resistant boxwoods were provided by Dr. Teresa Cully from the University of Cincinnati. That research that she had was funded by an HRI grant, and her encouraging results thus far do bode well for the future of boxwoods in the Buckeye State's nurseries and landscapes. If you'd like to view that, there's a website. It is just ogia.org/page/webinar11. The Box Tree Moth webinar was presented by the Ohio Green Industry in partnership with the Horticultural Research Institute. That's what that HRI stands for in their grant. And it is available, like I said, by going to that website, ogia.org/page/webinar11. You can also look up some different OSU fact sheets on them. The OSU Extension Box Tree Moth Fact Sheet Series does serve as a handout for the webinar. There are some hot links that you can go to if you just Google, again, Box Tree Moth Fact Sheets OSU, and it will take you there as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now as we are almost 2 weeks into autumn, and it signals the garden season coming to an end for a lot of folks this year, but there are ways to extend it. We're going to talk about how you can prepare your garden for next spring. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Now that we are in the start of autumn and the winding down of the gardening season for those growing flowers, fruit, and vegetables, a gardener's focus shifts to getting their garden prepared for overwintering. and in good shape for next spring. What are some things to consider when it comes to fall garden prep? Cynthia Domenghini of Kansas State University Extension offers advice, starting with...
If you have a large area that you garden, consider looking at cover crops. Some cover crops can be planted early fall time, and that's a great way to protect your soil through the winter and contribute nutrients back into the soil for your spring planting.
Then there are the basic fall prep tips for getting a garden ready for overwintering to keep in mind.
You can start cleaning up plant debris to prevent overwintering diseases and pests. Another thing to think about is if you would like to grow bulbs, planting those in the fall is important to get them to bloom in the spring. Some people have good intentions and they buy the bulbs, the tulips and daffodils and hyacinths, but they don't get them in the ground in time and they miss out on that spring blooming.
What if the garden bug continues to itch for the gardener in the early fall? What idea?
You could also consider growing a fall crop of leafy greens, and you can continue reseeding those until you get into a hard freeze. And leafy greens can be harvested at any point, really. If you harvest them when they're young, they're considered microgreens, really. But that's a fun crop to grow in the fall because you can get regrowth and extend your gardening season, basically.
And when that first frost occurs, what are protection considerations for tender vegetables?
Some options are to individually cover plants. Some people even use empty plastic milk jugs where they cut the bottom of the jug out and they can place that over the top of a sensitive plant. But you can also use blankets or sheet of plastic to create a low tunnel or row cover over multiple plants to get them through those first few frosts of the fall season and extend the amount of time that you're able to be harvesting.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.